Good morning. It's a special privilege to be with you here this morning and to also speak for 35 minutes to 100 men. I was thinking that Jesus turned the world upside down with 12 apostles and 120 dedicated followers. There's a lot of potential here in this room with 100 men who want to love the Lord and follow him with all their hearts. I also am blessed to have the opportunity to share on meekness, which Dave invited me to do. My connection with Dave is his son Mike was a teacher in Bradford at our school for 2 years. Really enjoyed Mike King. Maybe some of you know him. And Dave would come to visit him. And I was thinking about praying about a mentor at that time, and thought Dave just seems like a really nice man. In fact, a meek man. And so I invited Dave to be my mentor. And so we speak on the phone several times, a few times a month, maybe on an average. And yes, he invited me to share on meekness, which, as he mentioned, my life has not necessarily been easy. And some of that has been my own doing, and some of that has been the doing of others. But I've learned a lot through my mistakes on what it means to be meek like Jesus. And so with his help, we will look at that subject here in the next 35 minutes. And would I like to invite the Holy Spirit, as we have already, to guide this this message with what he'd like to say, what he would like me to share. Don't always know exactly what details to go into. So, as Dave mentioned, having been born into the family of God, we are now a new creation. There is now, we have a new identity and a new calling, and one of those callings is to be meek, which expressed, which I agree with, is the character of heaven, where people are relating and in the way of God. So I would like to focus on Jesus as our ultimate example of meekness, and then look at three different aspects: the definition, what is the definition of meekness, the application, how do we apply this, and then the blessing or the rewards for being meek. God's word actually says there are many rewards, especially for the meek, and so we want to receive those. So just to verify that Jesus is meek, 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to look at a lot of scripture as well here. You can kind of follow along with me or just listen. Either way is fine. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Paul says, Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So I want you, at the onset of this, to gaze at Jesus and the description of Jesus we find in his word. Jesus is meek and gentle. And just think about that. Our King, our Savior, that is who he is. He is meek and gentle. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. Matthew chapter 21, verse 5 says, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your King is coming to you lowly," or meek, "and sitting on a donkey." God chose to reintroduce the character of heaven through Jesus into the earth at his initial coming, and he sent him riding on a donkey, coming to his people, gentle and meek. They were not expecting that. And the verse that we all know very well in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, we can probably all quote it. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Someone here recently gave me a copy of a book they thought I might enjoy. It's called Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. And I would like to read a paragraph that he writes about this verse. "My dad pointed out to me something that Charles Spurgeon pointed out to him. In the four gospel accounts given to us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 89 chapters of biblical text, there is There's only one place where Jesus tells us about his own heart. We learn much in the four Gospels about Christ's teaching. We read of his birth, his ministry, and his disciples. We are told of his travels and prayer habits. We find lengthy speeches and repeated objections by his hearers, prompting further teaching. We learn of the way he understood himself to fulfill the whole Old Testament. We learn in all four accounts of his unjust arrest and shameful death and astonishing resurrection. Consider the thousands of pages that have been written by theologians over the past 2,000 years on all these things. But in only one place, perhaps the most wonderful words ever uttered by human lips, do we hear Jesus himself open up to us his own heart. Come unto me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the one place in the Bible where the Son of God pulls back the veil and lets us peer way down into the core of who he is, we are not told that he is austere and demanding in heart. We are not told that he is exalted and dignified in heart. We are not even told that he is joyful and generous in heart. Letting Jesus set the terms, his surprising claim is that he is gentle and lowly in heart. And the actual aspect or characteristic of Jesus is what makes him approachable and welcoming to us as sinners who desperately need his grace, but realize that we are undeserved of even approaching him. But Jesus says, come to me, because I'm approachable. You can come to me. So the meekness of Jesus is the calling for his sons. This is what you are called to as his son, to be like Jesus in this way. And in fact, it's what drew my heart to him as a young man who passionately wanted to follow Jesus and didn't really know the nature of God. And my life began to break down, and Jesus came to me in that broken place with kindness and gentleness is what won my heart to him. So I would like to now think of the definition of meekness. What does it mean to be meek in the biblical sense? If you look in the English dictionaries, you'll have a little bit different meaning than we get from the original words used in Scripture. Some of the words that would be used to describe meekness are gentleness, humility, and lowliness. Vines says this: it consists not in a person's outward behavior only, nor yet in his relations to his fellow men, as little in his mere natural disposition. Rather, it is an inwrought grace of the soul, and the exercise of it are first and chiefly towards God. It is that temper of spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. It is closely linked with humility, and it is only the humble heart which is also the meek, and which, as such, does not fight against God, and more or less struggle and contend with him. This meekness, however, being first of all a meekness before God, is also such in the face of men, even of evil men, out of a sense of these, that these, with the insults and injuries which they may inflict, are permitted and employed by him for the chastening and purifying of his elect. Hopefully you were able to follow that. If not, I would like to break that down into some maybe more simpler terms. Meekness is not a natural disposition of man, but the nature of God. In other words, we cannot produce biblical meekness on our own strength. We simply don't have the ability. It is the nature of God that he gives to us with the new nature, not a natural disposition of man. The true meekness that we're talking about through Scripture, although there are various temperaments, some of which would appear and are more meek than others. One of the fruits of the Spirit is meekness, which tells us that the Holy Spirit's presence in our life will produce that fruit. It also grows out of trust and submission to the goodness of God. It starts with, in order for us to develop this characteristic, it starts with trusting God and his goodness and goodwill towards us. If we do not trust God, we cannot trust that the circumstances we're facing are within his control, are meant for our good. We must first trust that God is who he says he is. And we are told in the Sermon on the Mount that the Father is so good that he even loves and gives good gifts to his enemies, that is the nature of his heart. Meekness begins with our way of relating to God and extends to even the most difficult human relationships or those who hurt us. So this was most challenging to me as I studied this and didn't really consider this aspect of meekness, that first of all, meekness we extend in our relationship with God. How do I relate to God? What is my heart position towards God? Because if I can't be meek towards God, then I'm not going to be able to be meek in my relationships with men, the men around me. We'll break down these things in the minutes to come. A little bit further express our definition. Harold Martin, says, it is a tenderness of spirit that enables one to endure persecution graciously and to witness to others with sensitivity. Gentleness speaks of a submissive and teachable spirit. Those who have the quality of meekness are ready to listen and to learn. Gentleness is a quality that makes one submissive rather than arrogant and haughty and rebellious. Christians must not be sharp and bitter, but gentle, mild, courteous, and fair. So we can add to that description. Meekness gives us a teachable spirit. We're willing to listen instead of demand for our point of view. Courteous and fair, sensitive to others. We'll look at one more explanation by Mark E. Kanner. He says in an article called Spiritual Meekness, an Imperative Virtue for Christian Leaders, he describes it as a lack of self-pride, a total lack of self-pride, to the point of a lack of self-concern. Emphasis placed on serving others. We already heard that one of the men speaking today is known for this characteristic. Some of what meekness is not, it is not weakness. It is not a lack of courage. It is not being spiritless and passive or docile, but it is being gentle and courageous. He, in fact, calls it disciplined calmness. So, Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as God forgave you, so you also must do. Once again, reiterating our calling to be meek. And I don't know about you, but this is not naturally how I am. Are you naturally forgiving and gentle and gracious when you are hurt and wronged? Is that what comes out of you? Something very different comes out of us, even though we claim to be followers of Jesus, and that is our flesh, our natural disposition, which in fact hurts others. As men who are called to leadership, as was mentioned, and the greater position of leadership that you're in, the more important it is to have this character quality, because men who are not meek hurt other people. They hurt themselves, they hurt their families, they hurt the church, they hurt the people they work with. So it is imperative that we learn to be like Jesus. So the application, how do we apply this? As I mentioned, first towards God. So we want to look at how Jesus related to his Father. As I mentioned before, I'm nature more of a passionate person, all or nothing kind of guy. Years ago, I went down the Carolina prison crusades, and one of my friends called me Crash and Burn. That was a nickname he gave to me because of the way that I have related at that point. This is right and this is wrong, and that's how it is. And that has gotten me into some trouble. So I say that to say that I admired men of God who, in their passionate pursuit of God, kind of went to great lengths. Like, for example, if you've ever heard the story of Paul Washer, which I haven't verified this is true. This was told to me secondhand that there is a place for passionate men of God. Well, I'm not suggesting we shouldn't be passionate. But in demanding that God reveal his presence to him in a cabin by himself, and I think when he was going through seminary, demanding that God show up, show me your real, like God put him on his back, like knocked him right off his feet. And that to me, stories like that are kind of inspiring, all inspiring. I want to see dynamic workings of God. What I say that to say is I've kind of moved past that a little bit to like, wow, look at Jesus. Look how Jesus related to his Father. Look how he was actually just wanting to do his will, and he was not this aggressive, demanding, belligerent type of person. So let's look at that. Jesus, when personally insulted, John 8:48, then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." Jesus does not back down. He does not give in. He does not get hard. He says the truth. He says it with discipline and calmness. And he says, you know, that was a very harsh accusation that the Son of God was demon-possessed. And Jesus says, "I don't have a demon. That's not true. You're dishonoring me, but I'm not even seeking my own glory. I'm seeking the glory of the Father." And he was actually more offended that the Father was dishonored than he was dishonored. He said, "I seek only to glorify I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." So Jesus' primary concern was to please his Father, to have his Father's blessing, his Father's smile, his Father's reputation to be honored, much more even than his own reputation. Okay, first towards God. That was actually in the relation to first or towards men. John 5:30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Simply reiterating the point that Jesus was about doing the will of his Father and bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. Also, Jesus' submission to his Father, his dependent trust in his Father, which led him to pray in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, as we all know, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done." So as I mentioned, in our old nature, our carnal nature, our Adamic nature, we distrust God, and we maybe wrestle with God, and we rage against him actually sometimes, and what his will is for our lives or what we're going through. But we see here the example of Jesus is complete trust in his Father. And I can identify with raging against God, being angry with God at what we're going through and how this is not fair. And so I am personally challenged to have a childlike trust like Jesus, saying, "Father, you asked Jesus to go to the cross. You asked Jesus, what you're asking me is definitely not as hard as what you ask Jesus to do. Not my will, but yours be done. Will you make me like Jesus, even if this is very painful?" How else can we apply first having a meek heart towards God? I believe James 1:21 is an answer to that question. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So, we have the word of God in front of us, and Dave encouraged us to read that, I encourage you to do the same. That's one thing I admire about Dave, is his dedication to reading God's word. But as we read God's word, we need to have a teachable spirit, a meek heart. which listens to the instructions of God, applies them to our lives, and repents according to what God's word says in relation to our actions. So that is one step in applying meekness towards God, is accepting his will for our lives, even if it's difficult, and also paying special attention to follow his words. Now, meekness towards men. We already talked about the scenario there with Jesus. I would like to look at a few other applications in Scripture. Titus chapter 3, verse 2 says, first in verse 1, he tells them to remind the believers. Then he says, to speak evil of no one, to not to be contentious, but to be gentle, showing all meekness toward all men. So, who are we supposed to be meek towards? Is there some people left out here? No, the answer is all men. Every relationship we are called to be meek in. Now, I actually work for the city of Bradford. I work for in a union, which I'm not a member of, but I've worked with ungodly men for 20 years, or almost 20 years, and it is very challenging to face the disrespect and of Christianity, disrespect of like belittling, with meekness. And I have not always done that. I have sometimes I have just really fallen short of that. But God's word includes those relationships for me to practice meekness. To a fallen brother, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So, I heard a beautiful story here. Actually, a brother of a man who has fallen is in Bradford right now, and his brother fell into some moral sin, which was uncovered. And the man felt hopeless, and he felt that, you know, he really blew it, and he ruined it, and, you know, I'm just going to enjoy my sin the rest of my life, and I'm going to go to hell, because he knew that that's where people who do this go. And the church brothers loved him, and they were not willing to let him go without a fight. And so in that hopeless state, they met with him while other men were praying, and God moved mountains in that man's life. And he said, his personal testimony was, I can understand judgment. I can understand that because of my life of sin, I deserve judgment. But I cannot reconcile what I'm experiencing now. I cannot understand the love that you are showing me from God in my sin. And that love, in the spirit of gentleness, won the brother. And I believe, as far as I know, he's on the path of reconciliation. And another story, I have dealt with different people in the community, want to see people come to know the Lord, and have, you know, done my best to try to facilitate that. I worked with a man whose name was Josh Eisman for many years. I love him dearly, and he's had major abuse in his life, drug usage, and he has made a wreck of his life. And he was getting out of jail, and he came to live with us, and then we prayed, and he was deciding to follow the Lord, and the Lord miraculously was providing things for him. He provided him a job, he provided for him a house, and he was on the road to recovery, and his wife called me one night when I was tired and probably slightly stressed, and says, you know, Josh is planning to bring some drugs home, he wants to do it together. And without consulting the Lord, without consulting, I got on the phone and handled it the way Glenn Neusinger does, on his own strength, right? Like, what are you doing? How could you do this? Like, we have made so much progress. I cannot believe you're even thinking about this. You know, what you need to do is, you know, you get the story. Anyway, that didn't work. It did not work. Thankfully, the Lord gave me the opportunity. He estranged himself from me. He gave me the opportunity here within the last year to help Josh once again go to rehab and make a way and do that in the spirit of meekness. And I thank the Lord for that opportunity. We're told also the difficult and confused, 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Our meekness extends to those who are that confused that they're opposing themselves. People that are hard to deal with, and they will probably be the hardest people to express meekness to. But we are called to that as well in our relationships. Also, when sharing our faith, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. God wants to be correctly represented as we share our faith. We need to share our faith, but not on our own strength and not with, without the Spirit of God, which misrepresents God. And people have been offended and turned away from the faith because people have been so aggressive and abrasive. But with meekness and respect, we need to share our faith. Also, meekness is an evidence of wisdom and spiritual maturity. James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So wisdom is exemplified by someone who works through things with a meek heart. One of my favorite verses, James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Could you put your name in there? And Quentin is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Put your name in there. Does that describe you? Are you like the wisdom that's from above? Or do you relate as the other? The passage goes on, but below is sensual, devilish, and disorder, and every evil work. I witnessed something very interesting about, I would say it was about 10 years ago. I was in a conference, and there were different speakers, and I admired two different speakers, and one of them was more natured like me, kind of passionate, aggressive, and he was talking about missions, and he was telling things how things ought to be, and how, the church has made mistakes, and there wasn't a lot of people in his class, but I was kind of on board with what he was saying, and one of the other teachers came and sat in his class, and he had an afternoon session, and that teacher went to his class, and he, what he did was amazing. He started talking about being in another country and seeing the loss and seeing the idolatry. And then he started to actually weep and say, these people need to know Jesus. They need to know the love of Jesus. And the people that would have rejected the message of the first man because of maybe his nature, totally accepted the message of the second because it was given in a spirit of meekness. And I don't say that to disparage the previous brother. God is using him and I love him. And I believe he's continued to grow as well. So the power, meekness is powerful and winsome. Now let's look finally at the blessings for the meek. There are special blessings. I would like my life to be blessed. And I'm guessing you would as well. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The blessing by Jesus is stated here that the meek will inherit the earth. We know that. And someday we will in its entirety. But even there is a power in meekness that, and to some degree, I believe we experience that now. Gentle, kind, generous people, because they're working in the way of God, the blessing of God gives them, and they inherit. So you can, that can be something that we can talk about a little bit later. Psalms 37:11. Jesus was actually in part quoting this when he said that, but he goes on to say, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The meek will delight themselves with an abundance of peace. And so we have the opportunity to live with plenty of peace if we are meek. Psalms 22:6, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. The meek shall be satisfied, contented with life, not raging and unhappy and disagreeable, but satisfied. Psalms 25:9, the meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. The promise of God here is God will guide and instruct the meek. He will show them the way to go. Psalms 147:6, the Lord lifteth up the meek, and he casteth the wicked down to the ground. The Lord goes and he lifts up the meek, and he picks them up. He sets them up when they are cast down. However, he is working in direct opposition to the proud. Psalms 149:4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. He will make them even more desirable. He will make them a sweet-smelling savor on this earth with salvation. He will beautify us. And finally, Psalms 29:19, the meek shall also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. So if we are meek, we will receive an increase of joy. All those things sound pretty good to me. In closing then, meekness is the essence of the character of heaven, just as pride is the essence of the character of earth. Our prayer as men that would enable us to be used by God in a dynamic way is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let the character of heaven be revealed on earth through my life, through the presence of Jesus. And may that be, I pray that prayer for myself and for all of you here. May we experience that, and may the world be may God be represented in the place where I'm at and where you're at because of the presence of Jesus and the meekness of our lives. Thank you.